odds. Fine, Tella said. You have a deal. The ball immediately stopped and slid into black. Tella couldn't believe it. I what? The ball jumped and popped into the red slot beside it. No! Tella stared at the ball, waiting for it to move again. But of course it didn't. You cheated!
Did you see me touch the ball?
Jax fluttered his lashes innocently. Tella fought the urge to smack him. I know you made it move.
I'm flattered you think so highly of my abilities,
but I'm not legend. I don't do magic tricks. No, he definitely wasn't legend. Legend was deceptive and he didn't play fair, but he wasn't a blatant cheat. Jax picked up Tella's hand and gave it a quick, cold kiss before dropping it and striding away from the table.
See you later tonight, my love.
We are not done here! Tella marched after him, weaving through drunk gamblers until she caught him on the same stairs he'd carried her up last night. The carpet brought back flashes of how helpless she'd been. Her chest constricted and her feet faltered on the steps. Jax spun around abruptly.
Why are you so upset? What are you worried I'll see in your dreams?
Get over yourself, Tella took a ragged breath. I'm here because I want to know how to kill the Fallen Star.
If you go near the Fallen Star, he'll kill you quicker than he killed your mother.
Tella flinched.
Good, Jax said. I'm glad you look scared.
That's why I need to kill him.
You can't, Jax said flatly.
What about with love? Jax's eyes iced over with irritation, and Tella swore the stairwell grew a little colder.
Who told you that?
So it's true, Tella said. Love can make an immortal human long enough to kill?
It's true, but that's not going to happen.
Jax started up the stairs again. Then tell me another way, Tella called as she followed. She might have said she wouldn't leave until he answered her, but she had an inkling that wouldn't be much of a threat. Following him was probably a terrible idea as well. Mistress Luck's words came to mind once more as she trekked up the stairs. If Jax doesn't kill you because he's tempted to love you, then I promise his obsession with you will destroy you. But Jax had his back turned to her now. He didn't seem obsessed with her at all, and he still felt like her best option for figuring out how to defeat the Fallen Star. She knew he wasn't safe, but after she got what she wanted from him tonight, she wouldn't let herself see him again. His study smelled faintly of apples and blood when she followed him inside. Tella's skin prickled once more with memories of their forbidden kiss as her eyes went to the scorched rug in front of the worn leather couch. She quickly looked away, focusing on Jax's desk instead. On top was a map of the city, held down in one corner by a mocking deck of destiny. The deck was a little faded and worn around the corners. It was nothing like her mother's magical deck, but it was another reminder of Paloma and how she'd sacrificed so much, including her life, to try to stop the fates from reigning once again. Jax threw himself in the chair behind his desk, looking annoyed that she'd followed him inside. The Fallen Star killed my mother, Tella said. I watched as he murdered her. I don't expect you to care about that, but I know you felt my pain last night. I saw you cry tears of blood.
Everyone who owns a deck of destiny has seen me cry tears of blood. Don't turn this into a tragedy and think that means I care.
Jax picked up his deck of destiny and began to shuffle the cards with elegant fingers.
And don't think this means I'm on your side.
His voice was so acerbic, she almost didn't realize this was his way of saying he would help her. There's a book in the Immortal Library, The Russica. Jax went on. It can tell a person or a fate's entire history. If Gavriel has a fatal weakness that no one is aware of, this book might reveal it. But using the Russica is not a good idea. You'd need Gavriel's blood to access his history, and retrieving that could get you killed.
If you're determined to go after him, you'll have the best chance of finding what you need inside the vanished market. Jax cut the cards and flipped one half of the deck over. On top lay the card for the vanished market, which depicted a rainbow of colorful tent stalls, all selling exotic animals, wares, and foods from times past. We might not have what you want, but we have what you need. The vanished market was one of the 8 fated places. In Dex of Destiny, the vanished market was an auspicious, albeit tricky, card. It promised a person that they would be given what they needed. But most people agreed that what a person needed and wanted were 2 different things. And Tella imagined that trading inside the market was a bit like making a deal with one of Legend's performers during Caraval. She doubted she could purchase what she needed with coins. If there's another way to kill him, you might find your answer inside of the market, Jack said. There's a stall there run by 2 sisters who buy and sell secrets. In exchange for your secrets, they will give you one of the Fallen Star's secrets. Tella studied Jax, dubious. I've only seen the Fallen Star from afar, but he doesn't strike me as the sort to sell his secrets. He's not. But if anyone has one of his secrets, it would be the sisters. The market exists outside of time. If you visit them, you'll learn that they have unique methods of collecting information. Where can I find the market? Several of the ruins throughout the city were once faded places, but to access their magic, they need to be summoned. Jax pointed to a set of ruins to the west of the temple district. Look for an hourglass etched into the stones, and feed it 1 drop of blood to summon the market. But be careful. There is always a cost to enter a faded place that has been called forth. The market exacts a time tithe from everyone who steps inside. For every hour you spend in the market, a day will pass in our world. Thank you for the warning. Tella hadn't known that bit, and she was more than a little surprised Jax had told her, since a fate's primary source of entertainment was toying with humans. In fact, she was surprised by everything he'd told her. She'd come here half wanting to rebel against Legend, and half hoping for answers. She hadn't actually expected to get any. But she had. She now knew Legend's immortal weakness, and she also knew where to search for the Fallen Star's weakness. I imagine you want something in exchange now. Jack's eyes slowly lowered to her mouth. A chill caressed her lips like a kiss. I already told you. That's not why I'm here. So then why haven't you left? His laughter followed Tella as she walked out the door. Chapter 21. Scarlet. Scarlet should have been tripping over her feet with exhaustion rather than dancing into her sparkling palace suite. After using the reverie key with Julian to visit a baker he knew in the north, where Scarlet tasted the best cakes of her life, he'd then brought her to see an old friend of his in the Southern Empire, where the water was the most brilliant shade of turquoise she'd ever seen, and people sent messages with sea turtles. She could have stayed there longer, but Julian had wanted to take her to his distant cousin, who lived in a house with a roof made for watching the world's most spectacular sunsets. In one afternoon, Julian and the reverie key had shifted Scarlet's tiny view of the world, making it even larger than she'd realized. She tried to tamp down her smile. She shouldn't have been giddy as she fell back onto her bed. She should have been mourning the loss of her mother, worrying about where her sister was, or fearful of the fates that were all waking up. But it was difficult to be afraid of nightmares when Scarlet's thoughts were still tangled up in the dream that was Julian. She'd lied about needing to sleep because she'd felt so caught up in him, she'd wanted to wake and return back to the real. She regretted it already. The reverie key was still warm in her pocket. She thought about using it to find him, and asking him to visit one more magical place. And maybe Scarlet would have done just that if a servant hadn't knocked on the door with a delivery from Nicholas. Scarlet didn't even need to open the card that came with it to know the gift was from him. It was a crystal watering can, small enough to fit in her palm, as if it were for pixie-sized plants. Scarlet crashed back to reality. She'd been trying not to think about the competition between Julian and Nicholas. Given everything else that had happened in the last 2 days, it didn't seem nearly as important as it had before. But she couldn't just ignore it. Scarlet opened the note reluctantly. When she had received letters from Nicholas in the past, she'd always reread them until the paper went thin. But she wished this one had never arrived. "Dearest Scarlet, I haven't stopped thinking about you since you visited. Now that I've met you, my imaginings are no longer adequate. I hope you like the first part of my gift. There's a second part that goes with it, but I'd prefer to give it to you in person. If you're available, I would like to see you again tomorrow. Faithfully yours, Nicholas." If Julian had written the words, Scarlet was certain her heart would have raced, or her cheeks would have hurt from the way her smile stretched. She'd have felt something, but not even the dress managed a response. Closing her eyes, Scarlet lay her head against her pillows. She used to think Nicholas was her best option for marriage. And maybe he was safer than Julian. Nicholas was attractive, attentive, everything he'd made himself out to be in his previous letters. But Scarlet felt nothing for him. No, that wasn't true. She felt relieved that they weren't married. Nicholas might have been the safer choice, but Julian was whom Scarlet wanted to choose. There was no competition between Julian and Nicholas. Julian had won Scarlet's heart a long time ago. She went to her desk to write Nicholas one last letter. "Dear Nicholas, thank you for the watering can." Scarlet tried, but she couldn't write another word. After all of their lost chances, it seemed terribly callous to inform Nicholas in a letter that she'd already made her choice. She wouldn't want to be dismissed that way. Balling up her note and tossing it in the trash, Scarlet looked at his letter once again. She couldn't give him her hand in marriage, but she could give him this final meeting. She owed that much to him. Chapter 22. Donatella. Valenda was a city that had been made for the night. As Tella took a sky carriage back to the palace, the world below her glittered with light. The churches and sanctuaries of the temple district glowed like bits of moon that had lost their way, while the dimmer lights in the spice quarter smoldered like ashes from a fire that refused to die. Then, there were the sleeping houses in between the districts, illuminated by guardian lampposts, giving an illusion of safety as people slumbered in their beds. No one knew how fragile their security was, and Tella wondered if more fates were waking up now. She probably should have asked Jax about it before she'd left him, but the Prince of Hearts had looked as if he'd wanted to collect a higher fee for more information. Tella's coach came to a gentle halt as it reached the palace carriage house. Mindful of her gown's ripped hem, she exited carefully. The air tasted candied. The world glittered, and the stars looked close enough to steal and place inside of her pockets, making Tella feel as if she were inside of one of Legend's dreams, or back in Caraval. Though the sun had set, servants were still bustling about the palace grounds in preparation for tomorrow's midnight maze. Night dust, which made whatever it touched shimmer under the light of the nearby stars, filled buckets that servants carried around so they could brush everything from the hedges and the fountains lining the walkways to the bunnies that hopped through the gardens. Most of the palace's staff didn't pay attention to Tella, but she swore a few looked her way with narrowed eyes before turning to each other and whispering things about her. She knew it was a bad idea to stop and listen. Gossip rarely contained compliments. And yet Tella found herself following a pair of chattering servants to the stone garden. She ducked behind a female statue on the edge of the garden, with a billowing skirt that created the perfect place for Tella to hide behind as the servants brushed the other statues with more glowing night dust.
"Did you see her?"
The first girl's voice was light and chirping, like a bird's. Tella had heard it before, her very first night in the palace, when she'd come to Valenda for the last caraval, and Dante had told the staff that she was engaged to Jax. She hadn't been that angry until she'd overheard this birdie servant talking about the engagement, or rather about Jax, and how he was a rumored murderer. They hadn't known he was actually the Prince of Hearts, and at the time, neither had legend.
"I thought she was the former heir's fiancé," replied a second servant.
Tella didn't recognize her voice, but she decided she didn't like it when she heard the breathless way she said,
"I would think his handsomeness, Prince Dante, wouldn't want her around." "Oh, his handsomeness definitely doesn't want her around," said the birdie girl. "I think the little trollop is just hoping to make Prince Dante her new fiancé, now that her former fiancé isn't royal anymore. But everyone, except for her, knows that's not going to happen. The prince is probably just keeping her around because she used to belong to the former heir, and to keep her in his possession is another show of his power."
"That's not true!" Tella wanted to jump out from behind her statue to protest. But maybe it was just a little true. Legend was jealous of Jax, and according to Mistress Luck, when immortals were attracted to humans, they only felt obsession, fixation, lust, and possession.
"I heard," said the birdie girl, "he actually had her locked in the dungeons this morning."
"Whatever for?" gasped the second girl.
"It wasn't because I didn't want her around," said Legend, the low sound of his voice filling the entire stone garden.
Suddenly, Tella couldn't have peeled herself away from her hiding spot if she'd tried. Moments ago, the world had been full of night dust and stars. But now, he'd taken over. The confident scrape of Legend's boots echoed across the garden, and Tella pictured him moving closer, covering the frozen servants in shadows as he said,
"I want her here. If it were up to me, I'd keep her here forever. I asked her to marry me, and she said no. That's why I locked her up. It was an inappropriate response, but sometimes I take things a little too far."
He paused, and she could picture him flashing a dissolute smile.
"You two should keep that in mind the next time you decide to spread rumors, or you might find yourselves in a prison as well."
"We won't start any more rumors. We're so sorry, Your Highness."
There was a rush of sloppy slippers, as if the servants were giving hasty curtsies, and then fleeing the stone garden, probably leaving a trail of glimmering night dust as they scurried off.
"You can come out now, Tella."
Legend's voice took a teasing turn as he leaned an elbow on the statue that she was behind. Still dressed in the same black and wolf-gray suit as earlier, with a matching black half-cape slung over his shoulders, he looked both rakish and regal as he watched her rise from her crouch. If this had been one of their dreams, when Tella and Legend were still pretending not to care, she might have rolled her eyes up at him, giving him a response that was the opposite of how she felt. But she sensed that game was over now. And yet, she still couldn't be entirely vulnerable and tell him just how much what he'd said had turned her inside out. He'd lied, making himself look like an unhinged princeling in order to keep her reputation from being ruined.
"I think you scared those servants half to death," Tella said. "But you know they'll still repeat everything you just told them."
"I don't care what anyone says, as long as they're saying things about me."
His tone was that of a shallow royal, but the look in his eyes was deep and all-consuming. His steady gaze held hers as if he had no intention of ever looking away. as if just maybe he'd been telling the truth when he'd said that he wanted to keep her here forever. Her neck flushed with heat that spread across her collarbone. Once again, she thought of Mistress Luck's warning. Immortals only felt obsession, fixation, lust, and possession. But maybe Legend felt more. It would get around that he'd been rejected by Jax's tarnished former fiancé. Just the rumors would make Legend look weak, a terrible way to start a reign. But he hadn't even hesitated to defend her. It made her want to give him something in return. I think I know how to find out if the fallen star has another weakness. Legend's eyes glittered, as if he'd just won points in the game she thought they were no longer playing. But for once, she would gladly give him the points. We can buy one of his secrets at the Vanished Market, and I was thinking you could visit it with me. His dark brows drew together, suddenly wary. How'd you find the location of the market?
She learned it from me.
Jack's smooth voice licked a cold trail up her spine. Tella spun around. Jax was standing directly in front of her, looking exactly like the Prince of Hearts she'd been obsessed with as a child, all pale glowing skin and brilliant golden hair that hung over unearthly blue eyes. His gaze was a little bloodshot, but his smile was exquisite, knife sharp and polished, like a blade eager to be used.
How did you get here?
Legend's voice was lethal, but when Tella looked back at him, his eyes were fixed on hers. They filled with something like hurt before thinning to a look that was closer to an accusation.
The better question is, how did he get here?
Jack slit his eyes toward Tella. Tella started, but she paused to look back up at the sky full of impossibly close stars. Maybe she wasn't actually in this part of the palace? Maybe Tella hadn't stopped to listen to a pair of servants. And maybe Legend hadn't truly defended her in front of them. Maybe Jax was asking why Legend was there because Jax still knew him as Dante, and Dante was not supposed to have magical abilities, like the power to enter dreams. Tella's gaze lowered to the ripped hem of her ice-blue gown, and she willed it to mend itself, something she'd only be able to do if she was in a dream. For a moment, nothing happened. Then, almost as soon as she'd begun to think she wasn't in a dream, the dress began to mend. The rip vanished, and a new tear inside of her heart took its place. This wasn't real. Legend had risked nothing to defend her in front of those servants, because they were only in a dream. Until that moment, she'd always loved her dreams with Legend. They'd felt like something special that the two of them had shared. But this felt like a deception. Her gaze sliced from Legend's stormy eyes to Jack's cutlass smile, feeling as if she was standing in the middle of an immortal game board. She hadn't liked how Jax had tricked his way into her dreams, but it was almost worse that Legend had tricked her once again into believing an illusion was real. Both of you are terrible. Tella willed herself to wake up, and her eyes flashed open just as her sky carriage came to a halt. She must have fallen asleep while traveling across the city, her visions of Valenda at night seamlessly turning to dreams without her even realizing it. She climbed out of the coach to find servants buzzing around the palace grounds and painting everything with night dust. But it didn't glitter as much. The stars no longer looked close enough to touch, and none of the servants glanced her way or whispered behind her back. It wasn't until the following morning, when Tella was back in her borrowed palace room, that she heard the voice of a servant.
Miss Donatella?
Her name followed the loud knock that had woken her up. Tella threw on her robe and dragged herself out of the raised canopy bed and across thick carpets. Perky sunlight warmed her skin as she opened her main doors. Two royal maids stood on the other side, the same ones who'd been in her dream last night. They each held one end of a shiny black box, almost as long as Tella was tall.
"We have a gift from His Highness, Prince Dante," the birdie maid said as both girls set the box atop the closest couch. "He also wanted to make sure you received this."
The other maid handed Tella a crisp black envelope, along with a curious smile. But Tella wasn't about to open Legend's note in front of an audience, especially not one that she imagined would share its contents.
"You can go now," Tella said.
As soon as they left, she tore off the envelope's seal. The note it contained was a simple square and covered with precise handwriting that for once made Legend easy to read. "Tella, last night might have been a dream, but I meant what I said about wanting you. I'm done playing games with you. If you feel the same, find me in the Midnight Maze tonight, and I'll give you your prize. L." She reread the letter. Her,
"Donatella?"
Scarlet's voice was paired with a knock on the door, cutting off Tella's thoughts before they could go anywhere interesting.
"I'm not here right now," Tella called. "Then you won't mind if I come in."
The doorknob turned, although Tella would have sworn it had been locked, and Scarlet stepped inside. Her lacy gown was a shockingly bright shade of red, which seemed at odds with her somber smile. A small train of lace rosettes trailed behind her as she walked toward where Tella huddled on the couch next to the box from Legend. But Scarlet didn't really look at the box as she took the chair opposite her sister. It was the first time they'd been alone since their mother had died. And from the way Scarlet was looking at Tella, this was clearly the main reason she was checking in. But Tella's feelings were still too raw. If she actually talked about her mother now, it would be like picking off a scab before the wound had a chance to heal. "How are you doing?" Scarlet asked.
"I'm viciously tired," Tella moaned. "But I think I might perk up if you tell me why you looked so cozy with Julian yesterday."
Scarlet's cheeks turned bright pink, and her dress shifted to the exact same color.
"I knew it!" Tella crowed. "You're in love with him again!"
Not that Tella really believed her sister had fallen out of love. Scarlet shook her head, trying to fight her blush. She probably still felt as if they should be talking about their mother rather than boys. But Tella needed this more than she needed to talk about broken feelings, and she believed her sister did too.
"Tell me everything."
Scarlet sighed.
"I think he's stealing my heart all over again."
She then told her sister about Julian's return and how he'd insisted on coming with her to meet Nicholas, who sounded far more decent than Tella had expected. She surprised Tella again by confessing she'd challenged both gentlemen to a game. "But I think I'm going to call the game off."
"I'm tempted to tell you not to."
The game was something Scarlet never would have done before Caraval, and Tella was impressed she'd suggested it.
"It sounds like a brilliant idea. But you know, I've never been a fan of Nicholas."
"There's nothing wrong with Nicholas. He's just not Julian." Scarlet's answering grin told Tella everything she needed to know. Julian might not have been perfect, but he was perfect for her sister.
"Now it's your turn."
Scarlet eyed the shiny black box beside Tella.
"It's a gift from Legend. He wants me to meet him at the Midnight Maze tonight."
Tella pulled out the note Legend had sent her and handed it to Scarlet.
"I think this might be his way to apologize to me for tricking me in a dream without really apologizing."
Scarlet's brow furrowed, and her dress turned a suspicious shade of mauve as she read. "I actually think he might be planning on giving you more than an apology tonight." She looked up at Tella with solemn hazel eyes. "Did you know the Midnight Maze isn't just the start of the week-long countdown to a new ruler's coronation? It's an ancient Valendan tradition with very romantic roots. The first Midnight Maze was built by a prince for the princess he wanted to marry. The stories say that the prince told his princess there would be a prize in the center of the maze. Then he snuck there and waited for her, preparing to propose when she found him.
So you think Legend plans to propose?
Tella said it like a joke.
Legend hadn't even given her an apology for leaving her that night in front of the Temple of the Stars. There was no way he could be planning on giving her a proposal.
But Scarlet looked utterly serious.
I don't think it's entirely far-fetched. Although, in the story, the proposal never happened. After the princess entered the maze, she was never seen again.
It's said whenever there's a midnight maze, the ghost of the prince appears and searches for his lost princess.
That sounds like more of a tragedy than a romance, Tella said.
But it also sounds like legend. I think he likes stories on the dark and tragic side.
Scarlet pinned Tella with a stare that looked a little like a warning before her eyes went back to the long black box beside Tella, as if its contents might confirm her suspicions.
It's probably just a dress since he knows we lost most everything when our apartment was destroyed.
Tella lifted the lid. But to say what she found inside was just a dress would have been like saying Caraval was only a game, when it was so much more. A sweet, bewitching fragrance filled the room. It made her think of every dream that she'd spent with Legend as she reached inside the box and pulled out a gown that could have made any girl fall in love. The garment he'd sent had straps made of flower petals, a bodice made of ribbons lined in gems as small as glitter, and a full skirt formed of hundreds of silk butterflies, all in different shades of blue that together formed a magical hue she'd never seen. Some had sheer blue wings that were almost as pale as tears. Others were soft sky blue. A few had hints of violet, while some had periwinkle veins. The butterflies weren't alive, but they were so delicate and ethereal. At a glance, they looked real. Exactly like the gown of her dreams, the dress she'd worn 4 nights ago, when they'd been inside a dream version of the Church of Legend. She'd thought he hadn't even noticed what she'd worn. But clearly, he had. It was tempting to shove the dress in the box and not show up at the party at all. The fates were still out there. She needed to go to the vanished market. She needed to find the fallen star's weakness. It was selfish to attend a party right now. But the real truth was, she was less afraid of battling monsters than she was of giving Legend her heart once again. Before Legend, Tella had wanted nothing to do with love. She'd believed she was destined to only experience unrequited love. Then, she'd fallen in love with him, and it had been like drinking magic, indescribable, all-consuming, and fantastically addictive. Tella didn't even want to get married. But if there was one person who could tempt her, it was Legend. Are you going to go? Scarlet asked.
Of course I'm going to go, Tella said.
She just didn't know what she would do if Legend actually proposed. No one knew how to make her dream or wonder or feel as much as Legend. But no one knew how to break her like Legend did either. She still wasn't entirely over the last heartbreak. And if he did it again, she feared she'd never get over it.
Chapter 23 Scarlet. Every step Scarlet took from the palace felt like a move in the wrong direction. To avoid the chaos of Legend's Midnight Maze, which had taken over all of the outer palace grounds, Scarlet had asked Nicholas for another meeting spot. He'd responded by sending a hand-drawn map with clues. She imagined he was trying at romance. And if the map had been from Julian, it would have worked. But instead of feeling romanced, Scarlet felt as if she were making a mistake. She should have told Tella that she was going to see Nicholas. She'd told Tella she was calling off the game, but she hadn't confessed she was telling Nicholas this in person. Deep down, Scarlet knew it was a questionable choice to leave the safety of the palace grounds. After yesterday's incidents with the poisoner, she'd not heard of any other fates causing havoc for fun. But as Scarlet walked Valenda's steep streets, she saw multiple fates in the form of warnings and wanted posters tacked up by Legend's guards. The flickering pages were all over the city. Some cautioned people not to accept drinks from strangers. Others had the word wanted above sketches that resembled Tella's description of the fallen star. But they didn't explicitly say that they were actually fates. The partygoers on the street just strolled by them. Scarlet wanted to shake everyone that walked past and make them read the notices. She knew the fates fed off of fear, but everyone looked far too vulnerable. Scarlet reached into her pocket, checking once again to make sure the reverie key was still there. At least she was protected. If she wanted to escape, all she needed to do was shove the key in the closest lock. And yet, she couldn't shrug off her unease. Even her dress seemed uncertain. As she followed the map to the docks at the edge of the city, Scarlet's gown turned a wary shade of brown, perfect for being overlooked. A few more steps over rickety wood, and her nose tickled with a familiar sense of salt and fish and forever wet wood. Triesta, the tiny isle where she'd spent most of her life, had always smelled like this. Rather than making her homesick, it made her want to flee, the same way Triesta had always made her want to flee. But Scarlet had decided, after Caraval, that she would not let fear rule her. She counted the docks, following the map Nicholas had drawn for her, until she came upon a long wharf covered with a black and gold carpet that led to a ship that looked like a floating palace. Its hull was carved with ornate images of mermaids and mermen holding tridents and seashells. The masts were decorated as well, giants with crowns of stars around their heads as they held out sumptuous purple sails. It was almost offensive in its finery. This ship belonged to someone who thought extremely highly of himself. That wasn't the impression she'd had of Nicholas. He'd seemed more down to earth, but everyone wore their disguises. Scarlet stopped just as she stepped onto the dock. She'd felt nervous about meeting him before, but now she felt a lick of fear that warned her to turn around. She didn't owe Nicholas anything. Most people did not take rejection well, and it seemed especially unwise to reject Nicholas on his boat, which he could easily toss her over the side of, or sail away with her still on board. She turned around. Scarlet wanted to be brave, but she didn't want to be foolish. "Scarlet, are you Scarlet Dragna?" The voice didn't sound like Nicholas. "Run! Hide! Scream!" Her feelings turned bright, warning red. She started to run, but it was already too late. A black bag went over her head. "Let me go!" Scarlet tried to rip the bag off as she screamed, but her hands were yanked behind her and roughly tied together. "Be careful with her," a new voice commanded. "He wants his daughter undamaged." Chapter 24 Donatella. Tella didn't know what pure anticipation smelled like until she reached Legend's Midnight Maze. The scent of red cloves and growing leaves permeated everything. She had expected simply leafy green hedges, but she should have known better than to attach the word simple to anything involving Legend. Each living wall was formed of different rare flowers. Burning orange starfire lilies, deep purple twilight thistles, brilliant gold creeping phasies, champagne delights, scorching red fever bells, all of which grew and stretched with every person that stepped inside. During her first Caraval, Tella had learned emotions were one of the things that fueled magic, making her wonder if Legend became stronger the more people enjoyed his party. And as a result, the glamour and illusion of the party also grew. Not that Tella had seen Legend, but she'd heard a few whispers about how magnificent his handsomeness looked tonight. Apparently, the nickname hadn't just been part of her dream, but Tella still felt a possessive urge to snap at anyone who uttered it. Her nerves over what Legend might ask and how she would respond attacked, knotting her up as she slipped deeper into the maze. The fireflies had arrived, making everyone she passed appear a little enchanted as their laughter and flirtations tripped over her head. Contrary to what the name implied, the Midnight Maze did not begin at midnight. It started around sundown when the horizon was a battle of colors, as if the clouds were trying to break free from the sky. They were probably attempting to reach the maze, which was full of even more colors. Tella wouldn't have been surprised if some of it was Legend's doing. With so many enthusiastic emotions swirling around the maze, his magic should have been growing stronger. Perhaps that was another reason why he'd wanted to go through with hosting the maze. He needed it to fuel his powers before the Fates finished waking up.
"Oh, look," a nearby partygoer exclaimed. "That door just sprung up in the middle of the hedge. Let's see if it takes us to the center of the maze."
Tella heard a rustle of dancing skirts and a muttered, "Gentlemen first." Then the giggling pack of people in front of her was gone, vanished through a door bursting with celestial blue dragon snaps that disappeared along with them. Only a hovering parade of fireflies and a patch of near silence remained. All Tella could hear was the flutter of wings, soft as dreamy lullabies and delicate as butterflies. Her skin tickled with fluttering that she only usually felt in her stomach as she looked down to see her dress coming to life with the beat of 100 wings. Tella laughed, and butterflies burst free from a skirt that had been inanimate only moments ago. Legend was there. He had to be nearby. He was bringing her dress to life and making the maze shift in front of her eyes. It moved more rapidly than before, growing taller and thicker and stronger. Leafy crenulations formed at the top of it, giving everything an enchanted castle-like appearance. She chased after the butterflies leaping off her dress until she found a glowing archway formed of dazzling white diamond peonies. As soon as she was through the arch, the flowers moved behind her, sealing her away from the rest of the party and leaving her alone with Legend. She took several heartbeats just to drink him in. A dusting of bronze light surrounded him, making his skin glow and his eyes look a little brighter, as Legend leaned against a leafy wall on the opposite side of the enclosure. He was dressed in shades of charcoal black, except for the deep red trousers he wore, tucked into tall, polished boots. His coat was longer than usual, nearly to the ground, with a regal, high collar lined in intricate thread the same color as the bronze light surrounding him, as if bits of the setting sun had stayed behind just to cling to him.
"You're such a show-off," she teased.
He gave her a devastating grin.
"Only when I'm trying to impress a girl."
His eyes took their time looking her over, sparking a little as they lingered on the delicate ribbons that made up her bodice before finally meeting her eyes.
"You're beautiful."
He pushed off the wall and stalked closer. But for once, instead of hearing the confident stride of his boots, all she could hear were the words he'd written in his note. "I meant what I said about wanting you." More butterflies took off from her skirt as Legend stopped right in front of her, close enough to touch. The world no longer smelled like anticipation. It smelled like him, like magic and heartbreak.
"Please don't break my heart again," she thought.
Even if he didn't ask her to marry him, he looked as if he was going to ask for something. Their secluded corner of the maze was growing brighter, full of infant stars that glittered and danced and shined. But Legend's gaze remained firmly on hers, intent and intense, and as intimate as any touch. Her breathing turned shallow.
His mouth twitched at the corner.
Have I scared you already?
Are you trying to scare me?
I thought I already told you. I'm only trying to keep you.
His lips brushed a kiss to hers. The maze, the party, the world disappeared. His mouth was soft, and then it was gone. It happened so fast. Tella might have thought she imagined it, if not for the teasing glimmer in his eyes.
I came here to claim a prize, not to be played with.
Tella held out a hand as if to collect. Legend laughed, deep and rumbling.
I'll always want to play with you. But tonight, I'm not playing. I want you, Donatella Dragna. I've never felt like this about anyone. And I've never asked anyone this, either.
His voice dropped so low it made her toes curl inside her slippers and half the butterflies on her skirt take flight.
Scarlet was right. He was going to propose.
His eyes grew brighter and his smile turned tempting.
I want to keep you, Tella. I want to make you immortal.
Everything inside of Tella went still.
Immortal. He was asking to make her immortal, not to marry him.
I'd say you could take all the time you need to think about it, but now that the fates are awake, I don't want to wait anymore. I don't want to risk losing you.
Legend's hands wrapped around her waist. He looked as if he wanted to kiss her again, but this time it wouldn't be just a quick brush of his lips. She could feel his hands growing hotter as his fingers spread out over her rib cage. If she leaned in, he'd kiss her until it consumed her, until she couldn't breathe without him. And she gasped yes to whatever he asked. Tella let him hold on, but she didn't lean in. She hadn't been entirely prepared for him to propose, and she definitely wasn't prepared for this.
I'm not sure I know what you're asking. Are you offering to make me one of your performers?
No. His fingers stroked up and down her waist. You'd be different. My performers aren't immortal, just ageless. My magic keeps them from growing old, but I can only bring them back to life during Caraval, when my power is at its peak. Outside of Caraval, there's nothing I can do for them. But, as an immortal, if you died, you would always come back. No one could kill you. You'd never grow old or weak or frail. You'd be young and strong and alive forever.
The lights around them glittered like gems, spinning and whirling, and promising that a forever with Legend would be full of magic as well.
It'd be like living in one of his dreams. But for some reason, Tella couldn't bring herself to say yes.
Legend's mouth turned down, and his hands tightened around her waist.
I thought you'd be more excited. This way we can be together.
He still looked as if he wanted to kiss her, but rather than lean in, his fingers toyed with the ribbons of her bodice, carefully loosening them so his hands could reach through to brush her bare back. Her eyes fluttered shut. Only the tips of his fingers touched her skin. But Tella felt it everywhere. He'd told her that he wasn't playing with her tonight, but he definitely was, though she wondered if he even realized it. People didn't really matter to Legend. People were game pieces inside of his world. He'd even turned the witch who'd created him into a sacrificed pawn so that he could go on.
And yet, despite everything,
Tella wanted to believe he didn't see her that way. Rather than preserve herself, she wanted to persevere. She wanted to believe he wouldn't break her heart again. She wanted to believe he wasn't manipulating her, that she was his one exception. But maybe Legend didn't know how to make exceptions. Maybe he deceived everyone. He said he'd never had feelings like this before, and he'd never offered to make anyone immortal. But he'd not bothered to mention the one weakness she'd learned about last night. Immortals cannot love. Love is poison to us.
love and immortality cannot coexist. On very rare occasions, we come across humans who tempt us to love. If an immortal feels love for even a minute, they become human for that minute. If the feeling lasts too long, their mortality becomes permanent. Suddenly, everything became clear. Tella understood why Legend showed up in her dreams but kept his distance, refusing to touch her until tonight, right before making an offer to change her. Last night, she thought Legend had real feelings for her, that he could love her. But it was the opposite. Legend wasn't changing. He was hoping to change her. And she didn't believe it was so that she wouldn't die. Legend wanted to make her immortal so that he wouldn't die. He didn't love her. He was afraid of falling in love with her, because love was his one weakness. If Legend loved her, he'd lose his immortality and become human. But he wouldn't have to worry about it if she was immortal, because immortals couldn't love each other. Immortals felt obsession, fixation, lust, possession. And Legend was clearly experiencing those things. Tella sensed it with each press of his fingers as he continued to toy with the ribbons of her bodice and brush hot touches against her skin. She jolted back, eyes opening, as she ripped free from his arms. Legend blazed brighter, the bronze light around him making everything glow. He usually looked human, but for an instant, he looked painfully mortal as his perfect lips pulled into a frown. "What's wrong?" "Last night I found out what your weakness is." His shoulders stiffened.
"What were you told?"
"That if you come across a human who makes you feel love, then you become mortal. And if the feeling lasts too long, then the change becomes permanent. Which makes me think that you don't want to change me to keep me alive. You only want to change me to keep yourself alive."
"No." His answer was unyielding and immediate. "That's not why I want to do this. I want you to be immortal so that you won't die."
"But I don't want your immortality, Legend. I want your love." He took a step back. She didn't even think he realized he was doing it.
"I can't give you that."
"Yes, you can. You just refuse to choose love over immortality." The light in his eyes went out, and the world became a little darker.
"Even if that was true, could you blame me?"
"No," Tella said honestly. "But I don't want to be like you. That's why I can't let you make me immortal." His eyes met hers again. The light was still gone, but they shimmered in a way that reminded her of all the magical things he could offer.
"You'll feel differently if you let me change you."
"But I don't want to feel differently. I want to feel love in its every form. I used to be so scared of it, but now I think love is another type of magic. It makes everything brighter. It makes people who have it stronger. It breaks rules that aren't supposed to exist. It's infinitely valuable. I can't imagine my life without it. And if you felt any love in your heart, you would understand."
Tella met his darkened eyes.
A flicker of pain fell over his face, but whether it was real or to convince her to go along with what he wanted, Tella couldn't tell.
"You'll die, Donatella."
"I already have."
"But you won't come back this time."
"Most people don't, but that's not why you're offering me this. This makes things easier for you. You don't want to love me and lose your immortality." His mouth parted and closed and parted again. And for a brief moment before he spoke, he looked entirely lost.
"It's not that I don't want to love you, Tella. I can't love you."
His voice was flat and empty and utterly sincere. It didn't just sound as if he was saying this because he was an immortal, but because he truly believed that he was incapable of the feeling. If that was true, if he really thought himself heartless, then maybe he hadn't actually been tempted to love her. Maybe he just wanted to possess her. "I want to keep you,"
You're not thinking this through. Legend reached for her hand.
A week ago, her heart would have soared because he wanted to touch her. But she forced herself to take another step back. She wasn't tempted by immortality, but she was tempted by him. She couldn't touch him again if she was going to do this.
I don't need to think about it. Sometimes you just know. And I know that I can't imagine spending an eternity with someone who will never love me.
She turned to leave. Tella, wait.
She pressed forward. She didn't even let herself look back. The archway she'd walked through to meet him was gone. A flowering wall had taken its place. The velvety petals felt real against her skin, but she knew it was just an illusion. Almost as soon as she touched them, Legend parted the flowers and hedgy branches to let her through. The leafy passageway before her was dimmer than she remembered. The fireflies had gone, and a chill had crept into their place. Bumps crawled over the back of her neck. The chill should have felt good after her heated conversation, but the wind sweeping through was fetid and wrong. A dream gone awry. When she strained to hear, there was no more distant party laughter. Any footsteps she picked up were harsh, fleeting. Something was wrong.
Tella, Legend grabbed her hand, appearing by her side.
Please, just let me go.
This isn't about us, he cut off. His grip on her tightened. He winced, face paling as the glow around him faded.
What's wrong? Tella asked.
More frantic footsteps echoed in the distance, followed by a series of muffled cries. Leaves poured off the walls of the maze, decaying as they fell to the ground.
Get out of here, Legend said. Go to the tower and lock yourself in your room.
I'm not locking myself in a tower!
Then run away. If you ever do anything for me, do this. I think the fates are here.
Then his lips were on hers. Severe, quick, hot. And gone far too soon.
Tella stumbled forward as he let her go. The maze around them was just a series of skeletal branches and rotting leaves. Tella could see right through them.
Are the fates doing this?
Tella, just go, Legend roared.
The foul scent in the air grew stronger and sweeter, thick and charnel sweet like death, as two shadowy figures appeared on the other side of the hedge. The blood in Tella's veins froze. The pale woman wore a jeweled eye patch, and the man had a great gash slicing along his throat, as if his head had been severed and put back on his neck. The murdered king and the undead queen. Her knees buckled, and her throat went dry. Tella grabbed for Legend's hand to get him to flee with her, but a fresh hedge sprung up between them, cutting her off.
No!
She banged her fists against the hedge's spindly, prickly, and entirely leafless branches. It was weaker than his earlier illusions, but it was enough to form a barrier between them.
Prince Dante, the murdered king said slowly. I wonder if history will call you Dante the Dead, or just forget you altogether after tonight.
Tragic, cooed the undead queen. Your face would have looked marvelous on a coin.
Before Tella could catch another word, the prickly hedge before her moved. It pressed against her chest, forcing her to stumble back. Faster and faster it shoved against her, herding her farther away from Legend and the fates.
That bastard! Legend was using his magic to push her away, and she was powerless to stop him, or the fates who'd come for him. She wanted to turn around, to battle against the wall at her back, and to return to Legend. But the magical wall was relentless, and she hated to admit there was nothing she could do against the fates except hope that he was stronger. She'd survived when the undead queen and her handmaidens had tried to kill her. Legend would survive as well.
He had to. Ahead of her, the palace glowed, moon bright against the black sky. The only spot on earth that didn't seem to be in pandemonium. The rest of the grounds were still dark. All the lights of the party were now vanquished. But Tella could hear people scrambling to leave the maze as its branches began to crack and crumble.
There were still a few occasional giggles and laughs. Some people must have thought this was all part of the game. If it had been Caraval, Tella would have believed the same. She'd have imagined this was Legend's plan. But she'd felt his fear when he'd kissed her, and then forced her away. Tella's feet burned as her slippers crashed against the ground while the hedge continued to shove at her back. It scraped against the earth. She could sense the churning of dirt and hear the crush of its branches, and the ground beneath Tella shook. She told herself to keep running, but she couldn't hear the hedge anymore. When she slowed, she didn't feel it at her back. And when she turned, she did not see it. The hedge, the maze, the butterflies fluttering all over her skirt. Everything that had been the party